Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Hallelujah. It is a blessing to be sharing with you, not just you that are here in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in on iChurch. We are streaming in English and Spanish. Hallelujah. So we thank you for tuning in. Let's turn to Matthew, the Hebrew name for Matthew is Matityahu. We love the Hebrew, the knowledge that it gives, because remember, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in what? Greek. And we have some schools of thought that say, well, the Old Testament is what stands. The Old Testament, we're going to do those observances. And, you know, we don't believe that there is a New Testament. We're going to stay here in the Old. Then there's a school of thought that says, well, the Old has passed away. We're just going to focus on the New. But you need both of them. You need to understand the observances, the significance of the observances in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was foreshadowing what was to come in the New Testament. And we all know that the Old Testament was foreshadowing a Savior was coming. And so that is why we at 3CLA, Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, it's not about denomination. It's not about religion or tradition. And a lot of times my grandmama, she was Episcopalian. And I'm going to be an Episcopalian till I die. Well, it's really not about Episcopalian, Baptist, Reform, Lutheran. It's about the truth. It's not about all that. And so until we get to a point that we understand it's not all about that, because if you Episcopalian, but you're not focusing on the truth, then, yeah, you lost. You a lost Episcopalian. You a lost Baptist. You a lost Catholic. It's about the truth. And first of all, do we even believe that this Bible that has endured so many thousands of years is true? Because I tell you the truth, if you don't believe it's true, then we ain't got nothing to talk about. You can just, we got some ushers that can escort you to the door. You can leave if you don't believe it's true. But I thought that I was here with some people that believe that the word was true. All right. Okay. So we can agree on that. So understanding this, the understanding that you get from going back and researching and looking at that Hebrew and looking at those Greek words had meaning. You could not, it would take, I don't know how many words in Hebrew, it's just so much deeper. You can take, it's so much richer, where you could say that word faith, and you might think that in English, it just means belief. But faith, if you look at that terminology, that word in Hebrew, it means emunah. And emunah is a deeply rooted, unmovable conviction. Right? That you can't even shake it. Well, that's the kind of faith that you have to really, truly have faith. It's got to be rooted and dug in. Right? And so when we look at the clarity that it brings, than it is about truth. So, looking here, when we talk about the observances, so we just came out of a Hebrew observance or a Jewish observance, which is Rosh Hashanah. And we found out that it meant Yom Teruah, which means the Feast of Trumpets. It was the beginning, the head of the year. That's what it means. So Tuesday, the observance will be, which is 10 days from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Say Yom Kippur. And the marrying of the old and new is what's needed. So let's go to Matthew, the 13th chapter, just to bring you some understanding and some clarity. Because knowledge is no good if you don't understand it. So we need to bring you some understanding. So Matthew, the 13th chapter, 52. You got it? Matthew 13, 52. I'm going to try to use this time that I have, which is not much, but I'm going to give it a try anyway. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and what? That's what the kingdom is. You can't throw away the old, and you cannot dismiss the new. But rather, the old shines light on the new, and the new gives a give understanding to the old, or the new gives you confirmation, because listen, it was foretold that there was going to be a Savior coming. A Savior needed to come because sin was rampant. And so they said, there's going to be a day when a Savior is going to come and he's going to die for the sins of everybody. It was foretold in the Old Testament. And they kept on saying the Messiah, or the Mashiach, as we like to say, is coming. Why? Because of sin. And it started way back in the Garden of Eden. They had everything. It was paradise, right? I mean, they didn't want for nothing. I mean, what would you do in a garden like that? All you got to do is what? Enjoy it. But then, somebody want me to say Eve. Yeah, well, Eve, you know, she had her part in it. But guess what? Adam was standing right next to her when she was doing it. He was nearby. So sisters like to blame Adam. Well, you let me do it. And brothers like to blame Eve. Tell you the truth. It's both of their fault. Brothers, stop. But, you know, Eve. And then Adam had the nerve to say, well, it was that woman that you gave me. You gave me. So basically he was saying it was God's fault. If you had to give me that woman, we wouldn't be in this mess. But he told Adam to dress and keep the garden. So he had a responsibility, right? So tell your neighbor it's both of our fault. Well, say it's both of their fault. just in case you're talking to a brother. All right. So it says, every scribe which is in heaven, and so we understand that it takes the new and the old. And so because of that sin, we have to have the sin what? We had to have a sacrifice for the sin. So they say there's going to be a time when the Savior's going to come. So in this time of Yom Teruah going into Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. What is atonement? Why is that necessary? Every year, they had to kill a lamb for the sins of the people. Once a year, right? So they had to say, hey, we're going to take all your sins and we're going to make a sacrifice for it. But you could only do that once a year. So let's check this out. So if Tuesday is Yom Kippur, and that sacrifice is being made on that Day of Atonement, that means if you sin on Thursday, you got to carry that for the rest of the year until the next sacrifice comes around again. that nothing happened to you. Right? Well, we do it all the time. Oh, God, forgive me. And then 24 hours later, we're back in the same mess. So there needed to become a situation where you didn't have to keep on killing a lamb. Come on, because we needed it. That you didn't have to wait for a year for your sins. Can you imagine walking around in the same dirty clothes for a whole year? You had that stank on you. Can you imagine? Some of y'all like to go two days. I can't go a day. I can wear this again. You shouldn't. So that's how sin was on us. And so we serve a God that's so loving that he wanted to make a situation where you didn't have to kill a lamb anymore. The sacrifice was being made for us, right? So let's find out what he's talking about. Let's go to Leviticus. Am I right? Yeah. Leviticus, and we're going to go to the 17th chapter. Just to give you a little history on why we are making this acknowledgement. So 17, and let's go to the 11th verse. So the Day of Atonement was this. You were like, listen, this is my sin. This is what I've done. I need an atonement for that. I need a sacrifice made for that. And the priest had to go for you. You could not go yourself. You had to have the priest go in what? For you. And the priest had to be okay himself. They actually had to put a rope around it. Because if he walked into the holies of holies and he wasn't right, he would automatically fall dead. And anybody that went in to go after him would fall dead. So therefore, they had to put a rope on him that in case he wasn't clean enough to make the sacrifice for your sins, they could pull him out. Isn't that something? Complicated situation. So if we go to Leviticus 17, chapter 11, verse, it says, for the life of the flesh, it's in the blood. There had to be that sacrifice of blood. And he says, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for your souls. So it had to be what? Sacrifice. And so let me kind of explain how all of this is broken down. So let's go to the graphic that we have for this, for the Hebrew New Year and all of that. It's at the top. So here, this is what we just came out of. You see this calendar right here? This is the Gregorian calendar. This is our regular January, February, March, April, May, all that, right? And that is only based upon solar. But the Hebrew calendar, these are all the months. And these months right here, this is where we are. We just came out of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, going into Yom Kippur, which is the Day of what? Atonement. So we're right here in Tishri, right there, right? And so that is kind of like the October that we are in. The beauty about the Hebrew calendar, it is not just based upon solar. It is based upon the sync between solar and lunar. So it's not just based upon one thing, but it's based upon the way that Yahweh has designed everything to work in sync. The earth, the moon, the stars, the everything, right? And so that is what they base their calendar on. And this calendar is more accurate. Say accurate. It's more accurate than the Gregorian calendar. And so when at these appointed times, and these times, Passover, unleavened bread, Feast of Fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, all these were the appointed times. Say the appointed times. And these were the times where he says, I need you to remember what happens on these times because it's important for you to understand why I did what I did, why I require what I require. And every year, you need to at least know the significance of what he's calling us to. So he's saying, hey, I'm going to take away your sins, but you got to what? Atone. That means we got to what? Confess the sin, right? Got to lay that down. And so let's go to Leviticus, the 16th chapter, and we're going to go to the 6th verse. And I'm going to show you how complicated this was. Leviticus 16:6. Got it? Say, I got it. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. See, he couldn't deal with your sins until he dealt with his own. It's so appropriate. It's like, listen, I can't deal with your business. I got to deal with my own what? First. So before he could even go in there, he had to make sure that he was right. And so it says, and Aaron shall offer his bullock for the sin offering, which is for himself, and then make an atonement for himself and what? His house. Then, after he did that, let's go to the 16th verse. Then he could deal with y'all. He had to deal with y'all. The priest had to deal with y'all. Right? You couldn't make yourself right. Let's get this right. In the Old Testament, you could not get yourself right. The priest could only do it for you. He could only go into the holies of holies. So the 16th verse says, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place. 16th, I'm sorry. You got 15? Oh, 15. So 15 says, then shall he what? Kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people. And bring his blood within the veil and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before. So he had to go and do that, kill his first, get him and his household straight. Then he went in for you and upon the, say, mercy seat. You could not have no atonement without mercy. Who needs mercy? Mercy. Because we messed up. But it's only by the grace and the mercy of Yahweh that we can even have atonement. So he had to take that blood, just as he did for himself, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat for you. And then the 16th verse says, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place. Why? Because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their what? Uncleanness. What does that say? They were unclean every year. They were unclean every day. Somebody was unclean every hour, right? But only once a year could you go in and make an atonement. Sounds pretty complicated, doesn't it? And so the 17 says, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation where he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he comes out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for the congregation of Israel. 18, and he shall go unto the altar that is before Yahweh the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the thorns of the altar round about. Then after that, he would have to what? Sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger 7 times and clip. Wait. That's too much. Do you want your sins removed? you want? The sin removed. Just like we were studying earlier. He said, hey, the only fire that I want on my altar is the fire that comes from what? His altar. The brazen altar is the only fire that I want you all to burn when we're dealing with this tabernacle of the sacrifices. But hey, Aaron's son said, oh, that's too much trouble. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get some fire from another location because it's too much stuff to deal with. And then I'm going to bring that fire in and let it burn. Well, guess what happened? He tried to use that fire and Yahweh burned him up. And he said, why did that happen? He said, because you brought strange fire. He said, you can't do it your way. When we try to do stuff our way, tell your neighbor, that's strange fire. You can't bring no strange fire up in here. He says, only take the fire from the fire from the altar, the brazen altar that I have provided that never goes out. It continues to burn forever and ever and ever. But I don't know where he got that fire from. Some of y'all be lighting up some strange fire right now. Hey, you got a light? No, I don't want no light, bro. I ain't got no light for you. I can't help you. Right? So it has to be done the way Yahweh says it what? Has to be done. Why? It doesn't have to be all that. Because it's called obedience. Right? And so he says, 19, and he shall sprinkle it, the blood, upon it with his finger 7 times, and then cleanse it, and then hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. You're not done yet, 20. And when he has made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, then he shall bring the... Wait a minute. Where did live goat come from? Well, you have to do the bullock and then the goat. And then to clean the altar, right? And then 21, we're not done yet. And then Aaron shall what? Lay both his hands upon the... Well, it'll be easier if he lay one hand. He said, no. Aaron must lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the... Oh, Lord, somebody... Tell somebody that's a lot of iniquities. That's a lot of stuff. All of them. How long does this process take? Just think about your iniquities. How long would it take for us to get through all that? Right? And we're talking about a whole year. Right? And all of their transgressions and all of their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man. What does that mean? Needs to be somebody strong. And 22, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall what? Let the goat in the wilderness. And then it what says what? And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linens and garments which he has put on when he went into the holy place and shall what? Tell your neighbor. Guess what? This had to be done every year, right? And so what were we going to do? How were we going to get through this? Well, let's go here to Galatians. That was the curse of sin. And so getting you to understand very quickly that the New Testament is the New Testament. where Yeshua has come. The Messiah that the Old Testament had foretold. Guess what? That is why we at 3CLA, we use the Hebrew name of Yeshua, because that is the true name. Jesus did not come until 1611. So if you're a person that likes truth and knowledge, well, gee, what were they calling him before 1611? Well, we find out that they were calling him Yeshua. And the name meant something. See, nowadays, you guys give names that don't mean nothing. The name had to mean something. The name had to speak of the purpose and what that person was going to do and the vision for that person. You don't just give a name because you think it sounds good. You give a name because it means something. So, yeah, well, listen, don't get mad at me, you all that have names that I don't want to say don't mean nothing, but you just have a name. You know, you got it. It's a beautiful name. But, you know, I mean, Mercedes, well, that's a nice car. So if your name Mercedes, well, it sounds good. Maybe you go fast. Maybe you're expensive. I don't know. Maybe you're high maintenance. I know we don't have no Mercedes. There's nobody in here named Mercedes, is there? I don't know. Okay. But we get names, you know. Who's that? Gwyneth Paltrow named her daughter Apple. I mean, who does that? But the name, does it mean something? Well, Yahweh said, listen, the name needs to mean something. So he named him Yeshua. In Hebrew, the Yeshua means he will save. He will deliver. He will rescue. And after all of that that we saw in the Old Testament from the altar, is anybody in need of being rescued, saved, and delivered? Hallelujah. So we needed him to come. So he came. Galatians 3. 10th verse, Galatians 3:10, it says this: for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law, which is the word to do them. And 11th verse says what? But that no man Oh, 11th verse. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of Yahweh, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith or in faith. And this is the 13th. Yeshua, Messiah, has what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? He was made a curse, what? For us. Tell your neighbor, for you. So he came to get rid of the curse, and he had to be the lamb. He had to be the lamb that was sacrificed. The lamb that was put up on the cross for who? For us. So he was made a curse. And as far as written, cursed is everyone that what? Did he hang on a tree or what? Tell yourself he did it for me. He did it for me. And 14 says this: the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yeshua Messiah, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have received victory, right? We don't have to have a priest go in for us anymore. Guess what? Because Yeshua has come, we can go straight in to the holies of holies ourselves. And guess what? We do not have to wait a whole year, but anytime we need him, we have access to him through the name of Yeshua Mashiach. Come on now. So now this is what we're talking about. We're talking about this. The Day of Atonement. You're in a situation where you always want to get it right. Sometimes we have sins of omission. We didn't realize. Commission. Sometimes we do stuff. We know we're doing. You know what you was doing when you were preparing those taxes. Right? You knew where your heart was. But through the salvation that we have in him, we don't have to go through all of the things that the priest went through. And this is the beauty of it. And I was kind of meditating on this. There was prophecy which said that the Savior was coming in the Old Testament, and he said that that Savior would be under the feet of, the enemy would be under the feet of that Savior. That enemy would bruise his heel, right? So that means that the Savior would conquer him and would have dominion over him and would stand on him. Basically, that he was going to crush his head in victory. Well, guess what? When Yeshua came, that's exactly what he did. But this is the interesting part. The hill that Yeshua was crucified on was called Golgotha. Well, guess what? What Golgotha means in Hebrew means the place of a skull. What is a skull? A dead head. So guess what? Yeshua received the victory. Come on that hill, the place of a skull, and that is where Yeshua received his victory. So he conquered hell and death right there at the place of a skull, and prophecy was fulfilled on Calvary. You see what we're talking about? You see how that fits in together? Who knew that thousands of years ago, when that prophecy went forth, that Yeshua was going to be crucified on a place of a skull and obtain victory? Who knew? Guess what? Yahweh knew. So when you look at the fabric of the Bible, come on. Don't just be a Christian. Be a truth seeker. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. And you being a believer should want to know everything there is to know about your Savior and how he has perfectly designed this whole thing. I don't want to be going to church just to be going to church. I want to go to church and get some knowledge out of it. I want to go to church and get some enrichment. I want to go to church and get some wisdom. So, during this time of atonement, think about the access that you now have through the Lamb that was sacrificed on Calvary, on Golgotha, on the place of a skull, and the victory in your life that has been obtained from that sacrifice. And you always want to never take that for granted. Because listen, he did not tell us to celebrate birthdays and Christmas and all this stuff that we do. But he said, this is one thing I need you to do this. communion, just this one thing, the sacrifice that was made, the blood and the body that was broken. I just need you to do this. And he said, as often as you do this, in remembrance of me. Aren't you glad that you got somebody to remember like that? Hallelujah. Take that seriously. Father Yahweh, thank you for Yeshua. Thank you for this time. We know that these appointed times, these feasts, these Moadim, are significant. Father, thank you for instilling in us the importance of remembering, that we must remember the sacrifice that was made for us. So during this time, Father, minister to us. Minister to us your mercy, your grace, and above all, your love that you have for us, and that we have access to you. Anything that we need, all we have to do is come to you, and you're there. And so we thank you. We don't take it for granted. We don't take it lightly. And we give you the praise for that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. Just real quickly, I need to acknowledge maybe someone is here who says, you know what? I want relationship. I don't want the tradition and all the things. I want a relationship with the Savior. If that's you, and if you come here today and you're saying, hey, that ministered to me, we want to give you an opportunity to acknowledge that. And to do that, all you have to do is just raise your hand and say, you know what? I want prayer for that relationship. I want that relationship. I know I need that. I know I've tried living my life my way, and I want to give my life to you. And if that's you, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you for that relationship. Second person, maybe, listen, I have had a relationship, but I drifted away. Not only does he give salvation, but he also gives restoration. He can restore you back to your rightful place in him. You say, I want that. I want that restoration. That's you. Raise your hand and we'll pray for your restoration. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I drifted away. He is the God of the second chance. Hallelujah. So let's go before him in prayer. Father, thank you for what you have ministered to everyone here, especially to those that are seeking in the household of faith. So we ask that you minister to them, lead them, guide them, direct them. You say, no man or woman come unto you except you draw them first. So right now we're asking, cover them, protect them until they come into another opportunity to step into the fullness of life that you offer us. So we give you glory, give you honor, and we give you all the praise. In the blessed name of the one who saves, the one who delivers, the one who rescues, in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give him praise this afternoon. All right, really quickly, when our ushers to come forth and give you one